Reuben Levy, we're learning the book Gan HaShalom. We're in the Hebrew version. We're on page 103 in the Hebrew version. Talking about the English or the Hebrew? English doesn't correspond.
What's the chapter?
The chapter is
4 or 5.
Chapter 4. Certainly in this book, it may even change on the chapters under there. On being a man. Towards the end of that chapter, a few pages from the end. Moshe, you asked me earlier, I was thinking about it, the question of when a person has something to discuss with their wife, there needs to be communication. Right? Communication is the essence of a relationship. You have no communication, you have no relationship. One of the reasons why Rav Nachman of Arush teach that we need to speak to Hashem. If you're not speaking, you've got no relationship. Right? The speaking, that's what causes the relationship. So for sure a person needs to communicate with their wife. The only question is, what is it that we're communicating? Just like in every facet of a person's life, the Torah teaches us things which are appropriate, things which are not. Person has to eat. You're not allowed to eat everything. Person has to talk. But you're not allowed to say everything. There's Lashon Hara, there's things you can't say. Every area has things where you can't, you don't just have a free go for it, say what you like, do what you like. And so too with a husband with a wife. A husband's not free to communicate with his wife in any which way he chooses. It's not the case. It's not, she's my wife, I can do what I like. No, it's not true. She's a human being. She's a creation from Hashem. Hashem set out rules. There are rules. One of the rules is you're not allowed to criticize your wife. It's not even in a marriage context. It's on Adavoim. One of the types of Lashon Hara, of evil speech, is speech that causes hurt. It's forbidden. It's forbidden deraita. You break many laws from the Torah by speaking words which are either false or they're true but they hurt, but you're not allowed to say them in the Lashon Hara. And especially words which is called onat devarim, words which cause hurt. It's just like, you know, it's forbidden to slap someone in the face. It's forbidden to slap someone in the face with your words too. And a husband doesn't realize that when he criticizes, either directly or implicitly criticizes his wife, he's doing exactly that. And I might think, well, it sounds fine to me. If someone told me that, it wouldn't hurt me. It doesn't matter. Just because I'm not aware of it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because I don't realize that I'm hurting her with my words doesn't mean I'm not hurting her. And what does it take? It takes Rav Arush, it takes Rav Nachman, it takes our rabbis who know more than we know to come along and tell us that you should know that if you speak or you imply criticism to your wife, it hurts deep down in her neshama. Not like you. She's not like a chevruta, a guy that you can exchange sarcastic comments or negative comments and joke about it, and right? She actually takes it seriously. She's not built like a human being. She's not built like a man. She's built like a woman. Right? She's a human being. She's not built like a man. She's built like a woman. She's not me. I look at myself and I think about myself. I wouldn't mind if someone told me that. I'd be okay with it. And well, that's true. I would be. But that's because I'm not looking at the same creature. I'm looking at me, a man, who I am. And that's not the same as looking at a woman. She's a different creation. She's not the same. She's not built to take criticism. I'm built to take criticism. I need to take criticism. Hashem needs to rebuke me constantly. I need to learn from it. I need to grow from it. Because that's my job in the world. My job as a man is to find out I'm doing wrong and I need to fix it. My job here is to realize I did wrong, to do teshuva, to confess, to admit, to fix. It's not her job. It's not the job of a woman. Job with a woman in the world is to come and help her husband fix himself. It's not to fix herself. She can't take criticism. If it was the job of a woman to be fixed, that she's broken and she needs fixing, then she would have to accept criticism, because otherwise how are you going to fix her? If someone can't take criticism, can't accept that someone else points out to them when they're doing wrong, they can never be healed, they can never be fixed. How am I ever going to know? Someone needs to tell me I'm doing wrong. So that's why I can accept that I'm doing wrong, because some people need to tell me that's my makeup, that's my nature that Hashem created. But with a woman, it's not like that, because that's not her job. Her job is not to accept criticism, to take it on board, to understand it, and to fix herself. No, that's completely wrong. Therefore, she's not built to take it. And more so, the fact that she's not built to take it means that if I do mess up and criticize her, I'm going to know about it. She's going to go crazy. She's going to go ballistic because she can't take it. She can't accept it. And Hashem is showing me she can't accept it because He wants me to reach a position where I never do that, which takes a lot of working on myself. It takes a lot of working on myself, a lot of emunah, for me to accept the situation and not blame her. And not saying it's her fault. And not think that she needs to change and she's the problem here. And if only you do something differently, we'd be okay here. Right? That takes a lot of emunah and a lot of work for myself to get to that position. But that's what Hashem wants from us as men. He wants me to come to a position where it's never ever her fault. Never ever. If I have a problem between me and him, and part of me growing and developing and becoming a better person is getting to a stage, as Rat Hashem, but it's still where I need to aim towards. I never say any negative comments to her, because I don't need to. It would be irrelevant. It would be ridiculous. It wouldn't cross my mind. What would be the point? It's not shayach, it's not appropriate, it's not applicable for me to say anything. Right? That's just not the
only addition I would add.
Yeah.
We're talking about Yehud Brusa. I would remind everyone what happened to Rish Lakish. False open the mouth, and even though he was an expert in something, you don't remind him that he was an expert in something.
Okay.
If you want to expand upon that, you can.
Okay. Well, I think you said it very well. Okay. Thank you. So, let's continue in our chapter. Or dogma. Another example. Ha'etz shel Mar'eh. The advice that Rav Shalom gave in the book about being a mirror. We said in the book earlier that the wife is a mirror for the husband. Hashem created the wife in order to be a helpmate, to teach me on what I needed to work on. How did He do that? So one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways Hashem created the situation is that my wife reflects me. Like we said, the sun and the moon, my light she reflects back. Just in the same way that the moon reflects the light, it also acts like a mirror. It reflects. So too, she's reflecting my bad traits. She's reflecting my bad traits, which means that if I have bad traits, they're going to come out in my wife. Some of them are going to be obvious, and some of them less obvious. They're only less obvious usually because I'm not willing to accept it's true. So some of them more obvious. For example, I wonder why my wife never makes me a cup of tea. When she goes to make a cup of tea for herself, she makes a cup of tea, comes and sits down. And I'm saying, no, you didn't offer me a cup of tea. Right? So if I'm doing it wrong, I say to my wife, why did you make me a cup of tea? Right? That's criticizing your wife. We don't do that. Even though it's a valid question, right? Why not? Right? The true answer is, she's a mirror. So she's teaching me. I should see something like, oh, you know what? It's true, I never made for her. I never even thought I never made for her. You're right, Hashem, I never made for her. Now He's shown me, and now I can fix that. He's shown me and my wife what I need to work on. Perfect mirror. Right? So now what will happen, Rabbi Arish explains, that when I now start to make a cup of tea, I say, oh, would you like one? Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, yeah. I'm now showing her that light, giving her that love that I'm now doing for her. It's going to be in her. She's automatically going to think, when she makes a cup of tea, oh, I should give you one too. But, and it's going to fix it. He's going to fix it without me saying anything. Why? So on the pshat level, very simple level, she saw me making and she understood, oh, it's a good thing, and she just, right, that's not true. On the deeper level, I'm now giving of my light in that, and she can now reflect it, because I'm giving to her, right? She's reflecting it. It might look like she's just copying me and whatever, fine, whatever wallpaper we need to put around it to keep the free choice in existence. But the truth is, it's coming because I'm giving her the light in that direction. I need to say nothing. About, if I have a problem, I'm looking at it and I think in my head, oh, that's not right. There's a problem here. So what do? I need to sit on it, not sit and think about it. I need to go to the field and need to think of why is this happening? And some things are going to be obvious to me, like this cup of tea. Oh, you know what? I do exactly the same thing. And it's going to be a perfect mirror, exactly on that thing. I'm doing exactly the same and I didn't even realize, right? But other times it's going to be more difficult. Other times, I'm really not going to see it. Other times, for example, my wife gets angry. She gets very angry. And it upsets me that she gets angry. She shouts at the kids, or she just gets upset when a bill comes in, or whatever it is, just gets her angry. And I would love to tell her, look, you know, you don't need to get angry about me. Right, I would like to give her a little bit of mussar, a bit of guidance. It's not the right way. Right? Hashem is showing me a mirror. And I sit down, and okay, Hashem is showing me a mirror. I don't get angry. I'm the most calm person I know. Can't be that. This bit must be wrong. This bit doesn't apply to me. Okay, I accept the tea, that worked. Yes, thank you Hashem for that. But this thing is just not, it's just, I'm the opposite. I'm Mr. Calm, I don't do angry. And sure enough, if I check myself and I go through my day, last week, last month, didn't get angry once, never shouted at the kid, even if they're making a rat, don't get angry, just don't do that. So the truth is, I do get angry. I just haven't seen it, or more likely, I haven't accepted it. What's not accepting it? I'm a person who can never accept being angry. That's why I never am angry. I would not let myself be angry. It's normal for a person to get angry. When somebody does something nasty to you, it's a normal reaction. So anyone who has never worked on it, you have to work it, and is still not angry, it's not because they never get angry, it's because I've repressed it. I don't like the mida of anger. I think it's wrong. I think it's ugly, it's despicable, it's not nice. I'm never getting angry. You can do whatever you like to me, you're not going to make me angry. I just refuse to be angry. There are people like that, many people like that. I have a bit of that myself. Very hard to get me, right? I almost never, right? Truth is, I have anger inside me. That's the truth. Truth is, I have a lot of anger inside me. It's just squashed. That upset you? Oh, that upset me a little bit. Truth is, inside I'm holding it. It's not coming out. It doesn't look like I'm angry. You ask anyone, he's the most calm person you know. What's going on inside? I haven't dealt with the trait of anger. I haven't admitted it and uprooted it. It's still in there. It's just not being expressed. So I might look at my mirror and say, this doesn't apply to me. But the truth is, it does apply to me. It's just a lot harder to catch, and I need a lot more work to get it out. If it's something obvious, then I'm going to put my hand up to it and say, you know what, you're right, Hashem, it's obvious, everybody knows. You know, just ask my kids, they'll tell you that and that, whatever, right? It's obvious. But if it's something that's less hidden, I have to trust, to put my trust first and foremost on the Hashem and on the Tzaddikim, that what they're telling me is 100% true. Just because I don't understand it, or I can't see it, doesn't mean it's not true. It means I can't understand it, or I don't see it. That's what it means. And at some point, if Hashem is smiling on me and I want to know, then he's going to enlighten me and illuminate me and show me exactly why it was 100% correct and there's no error. So, in the case of the mirror, what are we saying here? So here, we're bringing back the case of the mirror. We talked about it a lot before in the previous chapter. But here we're saying that in order that person cannot take on these advice, all of these different types of advice, unless he's a man. How so? So here in the case of the advice about being a mirror, this is a bit deeper. Because a person who is a man, a male, then he understands that his wife is truly a mirror of him, if he's exhibiting the male characteristic. Because he understands that if he's the male, then his wife is the female. And to be the female means that she is the one who receives everything from the male. Therefore, all of her behavior, all of her qualities, everything comes from the man who is influencing. Like the example of the moon that receives her light from the sun. And someone who knows this, and someone who knows this will understand that everything in her will change only through him working on himself, the man working on himself. Right? Someone who is a man knows that he is the giver and knows that the woman is receiving everything I give, and she's receiving my light. And she has no light of her own. The moon has no light of its own. The moon only has whatever light is given to it by the sun. Therefore, you can't ask the moon to shine itself. You can't ask the moon to fix itself. And a man knows that. A man is going to appreciate that. A man will understand that he is the one who is influencing and the wife is the one who is reflecting back whatever I'm giving out. Therefore, if I want to see change in her, it has to come from me. The change can only come from me. But I only understand that if I accept the role of being a man, which is the role of a giver and not a receiver. And he knows that if his wife is his mirror, then he knows that it's not appropriate that he criticizes her or tries to change her, right? Because she's just a mirror. You don't try and change the mirror. You see something in the mirror that's got, you're looking in the mirror and you see a stain. You don't try and fix the mirror, clean the mirror up. There wouldn't be a point, right? So he doesn't try to change her, v'diburim, or b'tzakot, with words, or with shouting, or b'chol derech acheret, or any other way. Milvad shi shaneh etzel etzbo, only that he changes himself. And mashuhu whatever ma'ay, what he sees in the mirror. He changes what he sees in the mirror. If I look in the mirror and I see a stain on my left shoulder, so I need to go home and work on my left shoulder. Right? That's my job. Right shoulder. Whatever. But yofi, the mirror. But who your day, and he knows. Ani hageve v'ani eseh teshuva. I'm the man and I will do teshuva. V'ani etaken etzli, and I will fix in me. And mashani ro'eh, what I see etzla in her, shedarushta tikun, that needs fixing. And she's going to change according to my actions. Right, so he explained all of this earlier, but he's bringing it back here in order to show that only the person who is acting like a man can really accept this advice and deal with it and act on it. Because if I'm not acting like a man and I'm acting like a woman, I want to receive. What does I want to receive? It means I want to blame someone else. It's your fault, right? It must be you. You just need to fix yourself and everything's, right? I can't accept it's me. I can't accept that I need to change. I don't accept responsibility. In order to emphasize this thing, we're going to bring a story, says the Rav. Toby now brings a story. I'm going to say it outside because it's a long story and you might see it quite in detail. But remember what the story is. I'll just tell you.
Why don't you tell her the whole thing?
yeah, yeah, I'm going to cover the whole thing, but I'm rather than read it word for word. And he went here and he said, it's easy just to say it outside. So what's the story he brings? So the story he brings is a man. A man comes to a rabbi. And he says to the rabbi, "Rabbi, I've been suffering many, many years. My wife, she's treating me like you wouldn't believe. I've suffered, 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 and I've realized there's only one thing for it." And the rabbi says, "What, you want a divorce?" He says, "No, don't want a divorce. My wife has to die. She has to die, I'm sorry. A divorce wouldn't do it at this point. The way she's treated me and suffered, I couldn't accept even a divorce to know that she was still alive, enjoying herself, maybe with some other man and having a new family. She needs to die. That's the only way I can get comfort now." So the rabbi said, "Okay, Tom, let me think about it." My rabbi thinks about it. Then he calls the guy back. He says to the man, "I think I have an answer to your problem. I've got a solution for you." I said, "Okay, great. You know what I asked, that she should die. Yeah, that's..." The rabbi says, "Yeah, I've thought about it and I have it. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do it." So he said, "Great, how do we do it?" So he said, "It's quite simple, actually. We learn in the Gemara that our teachers tell us that a person who makes a neder, a vow, and he doesn't keep that vow, one of the punishments he gets is that he will lose his wife. His wife will die early, right? So I think that the advice I can give you is make a vow and don't hold to it, and then your wife, she'll be taken care of. You won't have to worry." Man thinks, "Great, sounds great, lovely, wonderful. Thank you very much, Rob. Let's do it." So I was like, "Okay." So the Rob says, "Tom, so let's think of a vow that you can make and then not hold by." So I'm thinking, "I know, do you have any suggestions?" The rabbi says, "You know what? How about this? Why don't you make a vow that you're going to build for us in this community a wonderful mikveh? It's going to have a huge mikveh pool and showers, and it's going to be gold plated, and it's going to be a huge building, and it's going to have everything in it. It'll cost a fortune. And don't do it. A vow that you're going to do it, and just don't. Great. Sounds great. Perfect." So he makes the vow. Says, "This is what I'm going to do." So the rabbi says, "Give it a time limit, because if you leave it open-ended, then the punishment won't kick in until the vow's finished, right? That you haven't completed the vow in a certain time." So he gave 30 days. Within 30 days, I'm going to start building this thing, and it's going to be wonderful. So it's up, and after 30 days, then it will kick in and everything will be good and she'll be gone and you'll be happy. Yoffi, wonderful. So he goes home. So he turns to leave. And the Rav says, "Before you go, just one small thing. Seeing that your wife now has only 30 days left to live in this world, can I suggest one thing?" He says, "Sure, suggest." He says, "For her last 30 days of life in this world, just be nice to her, right? Just smile at her and be nice to her, and you know, just get that she has a few days before she leaves the world and that aren't so suffering for her." But fine, okay, I can do that. I'm very happy. Whatever it is, she's on the way out. I don't care. I can be nice to anyone. So he goes home and he does what the Rav says. He's nice to her. He makes her a cup of tea. So he's very kind to her. He's like, "Psh, you're out of here. Light a cup of tea. Whatever I can do for you. See you later." And so passes the days. A few days before the end of the 30 days, a man comes running to the Rav, knocking on the door. "Rav, Rav, Rav, you've got to help me. You've got to help me." Rav says, "Yes, what's the matter?" He says, Rav, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. That advice she gave me, that and she's going to die if I don't do the neder, we've got to change it. "Why?" "Because she's changed. She's a completely different woman. She's not the woman I married. She's like a goddess. She's a princess. She's looking after me. She's cooking for me. She's doing such wonderful things for me. I don't want her to die. Rav, you've got to change it." Rav says to him, "Well, nothing we can do. You better start building." So that's the story that Rav Arish brings. Why was he showing? I want to show here that the woman who was this worst woman in the world, who was the devil, who made his life suffering like hell, so much so that even the divorce wasn't good enough, that he just wanted her to die. That was the only way he could actually live with himself. All he needed to do was start treating her nicely. Why? Because of exactly this principle. That everything is in the hands of the man. Everything. When a man starts treating his wife nicely, even if she's the devil, she's going to change completely. She's going to change completely because the cards are in his hand. The responsibility and the cards, you get both these, all in your hand as a man. Okay. Lachen, tavin koreyaka. Therefore, you should know, my dear reader. If you do your job in truth, then there's absolutely no chance that this won't work. Rat is called Baracha. Just remember one thing. You need to be a man. If you still haven't understood what it means to be a man, and you haven't understood that you need to be a man to act like that, as gam hasipur hazeh ba'od alef sipurim ka'ele lo yisrach lo yazulacha, then this story that we just gave and another 1,000 stories like it are not going to help you. Ki ata harei nishar im hagasha, because you still remain with the feeling. Ma'ita, what about her? Lamehi lo tzricha lishanot, why didn't she have to change? Right, if you're still asking yourself that question, then you've missed it completely. Go back to the beginning of the chapter or being in the book and start again. Right, that's still where you're holding that. What about her? Hasn't she also got to do something? Why is it all on me? Right, if you're still holding that, you haven't got the point at all. You're missing it. That this is what happens sometimes, that a couple will come to me, ish v'isha, a man and a woman, and in truth, they're two women. Two women came before me, not a man and a woman. And I can't make shalom bayit between two women. Can't be done. Because the husband says, right? The husband says that, well, she needs to start, she needs to improve herself. And she, of course, says, he needs to start, he needs to change himself, right? They're both. No, it's her, no, it's you, no, it's you, no, you say, no, you do, right? Two women. And in these situations, the only advice, shenisharity, which remains, is shabal yipalel, that the husband needs to pray, ach borat al devarachad, solely on one thing, ribono shel olam, Hashem yibarach, ta'azor li liyot zachar v'lo nekeva, help me to be a man and not a woman, help me to be a male and not a female. Ve'al pizeh muvenet ha'gemara, Masechet Kiddushin, and therefore through this we can understand the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, which says, "Ashrei mishir banav zecharim." Fortunate is the one whose sons are male. Ve'oila lo lemisha banav nekevot, and woe to the one whose sons are female. Shelechora tamo ma amama ha mekaneh et habanim nekevot, because apparently it's. Very surprising why the Gemara would call sons female. Well, lefi devarenu muvan hitav, but according to what we've just spoken above, it makes very good sense. Shetzarish zechut, that you need merit. Shebanav yu zecharim v'lo nekevot, you need a lot of merit that your son should be male and not female. Right? Gemara, mafarash, that son should be male and not female. Right? There is such a thing. It exists. Men who act like women. That's us. It's not simply a tick box, right? It's none of these questions are a tick box. Today I'm acting like a man, tomorrow I'm acting like a woman. It's not black and white. It's not he's a man, she's a woman. He's acting like a man, he's not acting like a man. It's only a question of degree. It's all a question of degree, right? I shouldn't think to myself, I'm pretty much acting like a man, Yofi, I can tick that box. No. Question is how much am I acting like a man? Now, how much can I act more? I'm pretty good on some things. I hold together pretty well. On the multiple choice question of 100, I get 70, 75. But there's still 20, 25 questions and I'm falling a bit flat on my face. Right? There's still those areas where I'm reacting like a man. There's still those areas where I want to receive. I want to be the receiver. I want to stay in bed an extra hour. I want to read the newspaper and leave me alone. I want to have my own physical pleasure from you, and I'm not really interested in whether you're enjoying it or not, right? There's still areas for me to work on, right? And my job is to know that this chapter, everything in this book applies to me. Just a question of how much. Not that I can get to the chapter and go, well, that chapter's okay, that one I can deal with, I don't need that one. This chapter, maybe I will work on this one chapter. No, every single chapter, every single thing we're talking about, we all need to work on. None of us can say, I'm 100% male, the gambre, that's it, finished, signed and sealed. No. There are areas for all of us to work, we're not perfect. And it's just a question of me identifying and seeing which bits they are, or which bits I need to work on, which bits I need to pray to Hashem on. Because it's not, some things maybe I can change just from realizing it, right? Some things, I'm selfish, I don't make my wife a cup of tea, right? That means I'm not a giver. That means I'm not acting like a male in that situation. I'm looking after myself, I'm making myself a cup of tea. And I'm not giving, I'm taking for myself. So in that situation, a classic example of I'm not acting like a male, a male is to give. So when that's pointed out to me, I go, oh, you're right, great, thank you for telling me, and I take it on immediately. But other things I can't take on immediately, even if you point it out to me, and it's clear as daylight that I'm not doing it, is I'm not there yet, I can't do that. I can't give completely selflessly and not even think about myself and your feet. I'm not there yet. So those areas are going to need more prayer, because the only way those things are going to change is through prayer. Right? That Hashem is going to change those things, not me. It comes from a ratzon. Why can I change the fact that I now make a cup of tea? Well, that is in my hands, and the fact that I'm selfish in other areas, that's not in my hands? No. Truth is, neither is in my hands. None of it's in my hands. So how come I was able to decide in this situation? Because the ratzon that I needed, the desire that I needed in the making the cup of tea was this much. I needed to work on myself this much to make myself into a person that doesn't make a cup of tea, to make a person who does. And I didn't even notice that I needed ratzon, Hashem gave me, because of the ratzon I wanted to do, Hashem put it into me to do it. I didn't notice it, kind of like. But the same thing is true in any area, I just need to have the ratzon. But I don't have a ratzon. The reason why I'm selfish in other areas, because I don't have a ratzon, I don't have the desire to change. I'm being truthful with myself, I like sleeping in bed another hour, I don't want to get up. I like reading the newspaper by myself with no one bothering me. I don't want to change that. Right? And to change that needs a lot more work and a lot more ratzon. But it's the same degree. Everything is on the same measuring system. Just how much more. So I should know that everything is available to me to change everything. Just a question of more work, more prayer. Everything can be bought with prayer, just depends how much prayer. Some things require a split second, Hashem please, oh son. It didn't require a lot, it was a hurdle was just to get over it. It wasn't a big jump. Some things require a lot. Moshe Rabbeinu required 515 prayers. One more would have got him into Eretz Yisrael. It was a big thing he was asking for. Right? He required a lot of prayer for that. Other things don't require so much. Everything has its price tag. But we should know and we should be confident that we can change everything and anything. And Hashem just wants to help us, just wants us to turn to Him and to ask Him. As Hashem will continue to help us.